The online taxi service Uber is successful. It's worth more than $18 billion. It operates in more than 200 cities across 45 countries. But it may be eroding its brand and some of that value, that corporate value, by some of its management techniques and some of the ways that it's dealt with the media. Sarah Lacey, a tech reporter for Pando Daily, was singled out as a journalist to target someone who criticized Uber. And it's not the first time the company has come under attack. Uber has gotten in trouble for strong-arming its relationship with drivers, trying to undermine competitors, and for its CEO, Travis Kalanick, making sexist comments. Alyssa Shavinsky is a CTO of Glimpse, a private photo-sharing app. Welcome, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me.
So trying to undermine competitors, that's the American way, right? That's how capitalism works. Being tough when you're struggling or when you're just starting out, is Uber's tactics any different from any other ruthless company on the way up?
That's a great question. And some of the companies that end up making the biggest impact are run by ruthless executives. Steve Jobs is a great example of someone who managed to build a really powerful company because he just didn't take no for an answer. But what we're seeing with Uber is Travis really crossing the line and getting a lot of pushback for that. And the danger is that Uber is going to be known not for its excellent service, but for its scandalous business practices.
And what lines would you say that Travis has crossed here?
You know, it's really questionable to go after journalists who are not writing about you in a favorable way. That's really crossing a line. And the attitude towards customers really reflects, well, just a lack of respect for the customers and a general lack of respect for people.
And it also reflects the fact that they have a lot of data on customers, that they can instantly create a different sort of customer experience for someone who tries to hail a cab because they know of certain things that they may have done, criticisms they may have leveled at the company, and can immediately create an experience that's negative for that customer or for that journalist, for that matter.
Their attitude towards data is what's really troubling, and we're seeing a call for them to be more transparent about how they're approaching user data, and we're just not seeing the level of responsibility from the executive team. For example, they have a view called God view, where they can see everything that's happening with all of the riders on the platform, and they've used this to show off to investors the people who are using their service. So for example, if they wanted to, they could show you all the celebrities using their app right now. Now, if I was a high-profile personality, I would be cautious about using Uber, knowing that they might be displaying my whereabouts at any moment if it serves their business purposes. That's not really a responsible way to handle user data.
But it is legal, right?
It's legal, but just because something is legal doesn't mean it's a good user experience.
And I guess, are we going to be seeing more and more of this kind of approach to data as a power for companies to have power over their competitors and, to a certain extent, over their customers? Or do you see Uber being held accountable in some really important way, either by customers or by journalists here? What's going to happen?
We're seeing a tremendous backlash against Uber among the tech community, the tech journalists, the analysts, and the early adopters. It remains to be seen whether this is going to trickle down and have an impact on users. What we are seeing with data consistently is companies acquiring more and more data about users, using that to personalize the experience and make it a better experience for users. Overall, this can be a good thing when it's really aimed at making things better for customers. But what we're seeing with Uber is a lack of respect and consideration for the users. And that's why there's pushback. That's why people are concerned. And it really raises questions about the future of Uber if the conversation that people have isn't about their great service, but is about, you know, whether or not they're reliable, whether we can trust them, whether we feel safe.
In a sense, they're an online monopoly in that they have a huge market share of this online dispatchable taxis, and they have this global reach. Maybe to go back to, you know, old time classical capitalism, maybe they need a little competition here in their own space.
I'd say that's exactly right. And what's interesting about Uber is they've come into a space that was hostile, and the force of Travis's personality and the force of their insistence on pushing through and changing laws has given them access to markets that have been shut off to other companies. For example, you can use Uber in New York City, but Lyft wasn't able to work out a deal with the relevant government agencies and taxi agencies here in New York. So there are companies like Lyft who want to come in and be competitive with Uber, but they just haven't been able to grease the wheels in the same way. Uber's been really successful at coming into markets where other similar companies just haven't been able to get past the red tape. That said, Uber doesn't really have anything so unique or special long term. You know, the drivers are all contractors. Uber doesn't own its vehicles. Customers could switch with the download of an app. So their monopoly seems primarily to be based on their ability to come in and just bulldoze these government restrictions against taxi services.
$18 billion worth of sort of macho dude mentality in the tech world. Maybe that's what we're looking at here at Uber. Alyssa Shavinsky is CTO of Glimpse, a private photo sharing app. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.